Adventures in Research. This is the story of the lost chemical and how it was found. The story of a compound known to science as dichloro, diphenyl, trichloroethane. Dichloro, diphenyl, trichloroethane. Known to people like you and me as DDT, the bug killer. We are apt to think of DDT as a very recent discovery, for only in the last few years have we heard about this potent compound. But strangely enough, DDT is far from new, for dichloro, diphenyl, trichloroethane was a chemical lost beneath the gathering dust of time for many years. Who discovered it? How did it get lost? Who found it again? What characters from the strange book of research history played a part in this dramatic game of button-button, who's got the button? That is the story. First, there was Ottmar Seidler of Strasbourg, Germany, a strange young student of chemistry whose preference for his work far exceeded his desire for play, a trait responsible in part for the discovery of the bug battler we know today.
Hello! Anybody home in this apothecary shop?
Yeah? What's that? Who is there?
Good morning, Uncle Carl.
Huh? Oh, it's you, Otmar. Why must you shout like that? Frighten me, so I very nearly dropped my best mixing water.
No, I'm sorry, Uncle Carl. I guess I'm just a little over-elated this morning.
Over-elated. You must have met a young lady at the dance last night.
You're wrong on both counts, Uncle Carl. I didn't go to the dance.
Didn't go to the big dance?
Neither did I meet a new long young lady.
Too bad. Then what else is making you so frisky?
I did make the acquaintance of a new chemical.
Yes, of course. Huh? What? I must be getting a little deaf, maybe. Say that again, sir.
I said I met a new chemical.
Yes? Well, I guess I'm not getting that. It's you. You must be losing your reason.
Nothing of the kind, Uncle Carl. Last night, as I was working in my laboratory on some very routine experiments, I ran across a mixture that is completely different. Believe me, completely different from anything I've ever had before in my test tubes.
You're sure about this?
Of course. I have the formula for the new chemical right here in my pocket.
Ah, that's good.
Here it is. Don't you want to see it?
Well, if I have to, I suppose I have to. Here, let me have it.
Can you read it?
My boy, I've been reading formulae for a longer time than you've been eating even.
Of course, Uncle Carl. I only know.
All right, now, let's see. 5 phosphorus, 3 chlorohydrate. What is this? It's a completely new chemical.
There you are. Didn't I tell you it was?
Yes, yes, it's new, all right, but... Well, what's it good for?
I haven't the slightest idea. It's probably useless. But at any rate, I think I should write it up and have it published in the Chemical Society reports, don't you?
Don't I what?
Think so.
Oh, yes, yes, by all means. By all means, have it published. It's at least good for that.
And so it was that DDT was first discovered in the modest laboratory of Ottmar Seidler, the strange young chemical student who wrote up his discovery, published it, and faded into oblivion in 1874, 2 years before the centennial of American independence. And into oblivion with Herr Seidler passed his mysterious new chemical, good at least for publication, to be lost among the shelves of nearly every good scientist in the world. And while it languished there among the dusty tomes, the world was eroded by the tragedy, the misery, the failure of finance and government, methodically plagued and beridden by bugs. Creatures of our little world, armies of them, that the lost chemical might well have put to rout. The years roll by now, and men ineffectually battle the miniature monsters. while dichloro-diphenyl-trichloroethane is only waiting for the man who, searching with a purpose, can release it, like Sleeping Beauty from its long, long nap. Finally, in the late 30s, the Prince Charming who will accomplish the awakening steps into the picture. The stage is a Swiss chemical factory where dyes and dressings for expensive as well as inexpensive clothing materials are produced. Being a modern establishment and progressive, this Swiss firm maintains a well-equipped research laboratory. One of the chemists, Paul Mueller, has stopped his employer, Mr. Ludwig, to call his attention to a vial of liquid that, in appearance, is very little different from the many other vials of liquid nearly overflowing the racks and shelves in the library.
What did you have here, Paul?
Mr. Ludwig, this is a little mixture I've been playing with. I found the formula for it in one of these old journals right here.
Let's see. Reports of the German Chemical Society, 1850 to 1900. Old, isn't it?
Yes, I just came upon it by chance. But I think it may help us in our moth-proofing problem.
Let's see.
These ingredients ought to have some effect. In fact, I can't for the life of me imagine why someone hasn't thought of it before.
Maybe they have. And then again, maybe they haven't. Go ahead, try it. It might work. But I'd be inclined to doubt it. Or we've heard of it before. Yes, I'm sure we would. However, as I say, try it. If it fails, there's little loss. Little loss.
Paul Mueller did try it. He mixed the chemicals that the old formula called for, spent many an hour trying a little more of one ingredient, a little less of another, striking the proper chemical balance suitable to the use he had in mind. And then he trapped a few moths and a few flies, exposed them to the long-forgotten Othmar Zeidler's chemical.
Well, this is a find indeed. A real find.
Of his results, Paul Mueller said not a word to his employer. For the experiment had only just begun, and Paul Mueller wasn't the one to crow about his work before he had proved it could bring results. But while he worked in his laboratory there at the factory, events were shaping that were to bring the lost chemical out of the library and the laboratory, to spread its active, powerful magic across many nations, to girdle the world in the path of World War II.
It's a very grave problem, Mr. Ludwig.
I understand your problem quite well, Mr. Bemmel. The insects are ruining your grape arbor.
Not mine alone, Mr. Ludwig, but all the arbors, all the wonderful, beautiful, profitable vineyards in Switzerland are being ruined. And why? Because of the war, that's why. One world war was not enough. Two we have to have yet. You must help us, Mr. Ludwig. You must.
But we are helpless, Mr. Bemmel. Trust me, I speak the truth.
But without insecticides, without any chemical at all, we are lost. The war has cut off all our supplies. The pyrethrum, very fine, is no longer available. The rotenone, excellent, is also unprocurable.
I wish I could help you. The future of our vineyards and our wineries is as important to me as it is to you. For isn't it a part of the Swiss economy?
Yes.
But please understand, though we are chemists, it is dye stuffs in which we specialize, don't you see?
See, of course I see. But you are chemists. Mr. Ludwig, you have your research men working in your laboratories. Couldn't they find something besides colors for fabric?
Mr. Bemmel, you are... Excuse me a minute, Mr. Bemmel.
Of course.
Miss Kohler, please have Paul Mueller come in. Mr. Bemmel, I shall let you speak personally to our research man, Mr. Mueller, to convince you that we would help if only we could. I'm sure that if there is anything... come in, Paul. Mr. Mueller... This is Mr.
Bemmel. A pleasure, Mr. Mueller.
Of course, Mr. Bemmel. He is the owner of a large vineyard, Paul. He's faced, it tells me, with the problem of losing his fruit to the ravages of some sort of insect.
Oh, it is terrible, Mr. Mueller, terrible. We shall be ruined by them. And there is no insecticide available because of the war. That is why I am here, to ask the kind assistance of your company.
I try to assure Mr. Bemmel there is nothing they can do to get him a chemical to take the place of the ones they've been using here before.
But perhaps we can give him one, sir.
You can? What's this? See, Paul, this is no time.
I haven't spoken to you about it before because I wasn't completely done with my experiments. But you recall the old formula, the one I showed you in the scientific journal.
Oh, I can't say that. Yes, yes, I do. But that was for naught. Mr. Bemel wants...
Well, there's no reason why it need be confined to a material for mouthproofing, sir. If you could see its action, you'd agree it might be suitable for disposing of many insects, aside from moths. I've tested it on numerous tests, and in every case, the action is about the same. Craziness first, a mad dizziness, a wild attempted flight, and then... poof.
Dead?
Dead.
We must try it. We must. Perhaps it is the heaven-sent chemical we need.
What did you say the name of it was called, Mr. Miller?
Dichlorodiphenyl trichloroethate.
What?
DDT.
Out of Paul Mueller's laboratory in the Swiss Dye Works came DDT, into the light of day at last. Ammunition to quell the ravishing onslaught of the insects that were fast gnawing at the profits of the Swiss vintners. Soon the company turned to earnest production of the newfound chemical miracle. And farmers saw their fruit and their vegetables blossom and flourish as never before, while the population of pests grew gradually less and less. And the bugs had only just begun to die. For as reports from the far-flung battlefronts of World War II filtered in, the company producing DDT observed a very important military need for their chemical.
How can our soldiers fight the enemy in the tropics, infested as they are with malaria? We must be rid of it.
Oh, if we can lick the Anopheles mosquito in the tropics, we'll have a chance. And that isn't all. Typhus, too. That flea-borne plague is worse than any airborne infant.
See the news, gentlemen. You know how important a good insecticide is. And we know we have it. It might be a very good idea to contact our American office, in our code, of course, and have them pass the word along to the American government that we have a very important weapon for sale. Is the board not agree?
The board agreed, indeed. And soon the news of DDT was transmitted to the American government through the American representative of the Swiss dye makers. Faced with the immediate need for an offensive against the disease-bearing bugs of the tropics and the trenches, the United States military authorities grasped willingly at the proffered formula. Then began a whirlwind of activity. In research laboratories that buzzed 24 hours a day, DDT was put through its chemical paces. Then samples carried by researchers in the field were taken to a variety of climates. DDT was tested on the spot for its talents and came through with colors flying, proved itself in action. From therein, it's a well-known story. The lost chemical brought to light after more than half a century was used by the Allied armies all over the world. And now, today, in peacetime, DDT is still hard at work in our post-war battles against those troublemakers that crawl and fly and fight, that carry the germs of disease to men, to plants, to animals. If Othmar Zeidler, the young man who first compounded his unknown chemical, could see it working now, he'd surely be shocked with amazement to see the multitude of uses modern science has found for what to him was a useless new chemical. An heroic end indeed, for such an unpretentious beginning to one of the world's most peculiar adventures in research. And that's today's story by Dr. Phillips Thomas, research engineer of the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. This is Paul Shannon inviting you to join us again next week for another transcribed Adventures in Research.